As you're sitting down, let's take a time to pray this morning. Father God, we take a deep breath and just acknowledge that you, God, are our Father. You are Lord, you are our Savior. And this morning, God, we can't help but be reminded of your presence, of your glory, of your power. And Father, I pray that as we think about who you are, that we would hold your holiness not at arm's length, but hold it within the depths of our hearts today. That your kingdom will grow and develop here on earth, and that your will in all circumstances will be done. As we look towards heaven and we look towards the life that is yet to come, Lord, may even now your will be done here and there. And Father, as we think about the things that are necessities or needs, Father, will you give us those things? The things that we daily need, the things that we just are burdened by, Father, will you see to those things? Will you forgive us of the things that we do, the trespasses, the sins, the hurts that we give to others, the things that we have said, the things that we have done, the ways in which we have just wronged, God, will you forgive us of those things? Whether they be interpersonal or with you, God, will you work in our lives? And we pray, Father, that we would have the strength to be led away from the temptations that we have. We know that you have given us the out. You have always worked in our lives for us to avoid, to flee, to run from temptations. And I pray, Lord, that we would have the strength to do that even more daily, Father. And Lord, will you continue to deliver us from the evil one? God, I also recognize that today we need your comfort as well. There are those of us that are right here in this room, those of us that we know, those of us that are a part of this body, Lord, that just have been devastated with news, devastated with heartbreak, and have just been overwhelmed with the loss of so many things in life. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one, the loss of plans, the loss of mobility. There's just so much that happens in our lives. And Father, we need your comfort. We need your peace. We need your healing in our lives. And we need you to help us grieve. And when the time is right, to carry on. Not to forget, but to carry on. And so, God, we pray these things. We pray for the peace and the comfort. We pray for your work in our lives. And we're so grateful that you truly are the air that we breathe. You fill our lungs. And every time we take a breath, it's almost as if we are breathing out your name, because you are the one who created us. And we thank you for that. God, be with us this day as we look at your word. Be with us as we worship you in the ways that we will today. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen. 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 Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you all here today. I'm glad that that we have an opportunity to come into worship today, and I just am overwhelmed by God's goodness, and I hope that you are as well. We have a variety of things that we want to accomplish today, but if you have not seen one of these, or if you have seen one of these and you don't know what they are a QR code, and we would love it if you would scan it and then fill out the information that's there. It's a way for us to get to know you a little bit and for us to get to know, I think I said that twice. Anyways, just fill it out. That would be great. And if there's something that you would like to be lifted up in prayer, there is a section for that on this little QR code, and I would love to be praying for you and however you need. So a couple of other things that we just want to let you know about. Today is what we call Fifth Sunday Lunch, and that means that we're going to have lunch after church today. And if this is your first time joining us, we would love it if you would stay and enjoy food. It's a great way for us to interact with one another. And then we also have, if people brought them, I know that I see some cornhole out there, but maybe some other folks brought in some games. We can play some yard games. I brought a Frisbee. I don't know if that, I like playing Frisbee. But and I know Lucas does over there. I don't know about anybody else. But we can do that. We can have just some fun. Maybe you don't want to play any yard games. That's fine. Sit on a lawn chair. Sit in a chair and talk to other people. That's why we do Fifth Sunday Lunch. And so it's going to be plenty of food, burgers, dogs, and whatever else you brought. So stick around and join us for that. Let's see. We are on the precipice. That's a fun word, isn't it? We're on the beginnings of what this fall is going to be looking like. And here's something that I would just invite you to be praying about for this fall. How might you get involved? How might you do something that maybe you've never done before? Maybe it's I've never been a part of a life group before, and I think it's time. I think it's time for everybody to be in a life group, but maybe that's your thought. Consider that. Or if you're one of the guys in the room and you're thinking, you know what, I need to have some other time with guys and have some camaraderie and to learn, maybe it's time for you to join us on Friday mornings at 6 a.m. It's not ungodly. It's a good hour, and come and enjoy some coffee and chat and talk and learn as well, grow in your relationship with Jesus. Maybe it's, you know, I've been a part of the church for a little while now, and I would love to give back. I'd love to serve. There are ways for you to be involved. We just need to know that you're willing, and so maybe that's you. Maybe you love working with kids, and you have not done that yet. And we would love to connect you with our kids programs. Maybe you like the scary teenagers. Are they scary? Nah, they're not. Our teens are amazing. But maybe you want to work with some teens and you would love to help out in that area. We would love to get you plugged in. Maybe you're thinking, I need to be a leader in life groups. And that's something that you would like to do. Well, we have space available for people to be joining us and to be a part of these things. Sometimes we just need the help knowing where you would like to serve or where you would like to get involved. So in the next couple of weeks, I mean, and I'm serious about this, over the next couple of weeks, I invite you to be praying on how you might be involved, be engaged, and maybe it's serving. I don't know, but pray about these things over the next couple of weeks, because in the middle of August, we're going to be kicking it in high gear for talking about these ministries that are going to get going and started. And the only way that we can really do this is with your help. And so let's jump into it in the coming weeks. So right now, your job is pray, pray, pray. Okay? That's three times. That's biblical right there, maybe. OK, Okay, because the angel said, holy, holy, holy. All right, so we're just going to tack on pray, pray, pray. All right, that's how we're going to do it for right now. But we just need you to be thinking about these things. We also, in September, have a new series that is going to be started that is going to be incorporating small groups. And it's going to be a great experience. And I'm hoping that I believe that the whole church is going to be involved in it. And so be thinking about those things even now, because God's got some great things ahead of us. Something that I want to talk about that I think is really important that may not apply to everybody, but everybody needs to know about it, is that last fall, we started a thing that was called Leaders Night Out. And really what this was designed to do and continues to do is pour into the leaders of Living Hope. And so we would gather for a meal together. We would have some teaching delivered by myself and through help of many other leaders to help provide a lesson and a teaching. And then our leaders, based on their groups, would get together and talk about best practices, talk about how things are going in the areas that they're serving in and leading in, and then we would call it a night. But it became something that I think is really good for us as a church, and I need to let you know that we are planning the next round of Leaders Night Out events this next year. Our first one is going to be done on August 7th. Now, if you are a leader in the various areas, like in life groups or in outreach or on the mission team, or maybe you're involved with the youth ministry, or maybe you're thinking, huh, I'm a leader. How am I getting involved in this? Well, not every area of leadership is involved, like our trustees. That's a different form of leadership in the background that we might not invite in just yet to the Leaders Night Out opportunities. But if you're involved in the ones that I've already mentioned, you should have gotten an email from me in the last week or so that reminds you about the first one coming up. If you haven't gotten that email from me, that means that you probably didn't check your email. Or maybe your category of leadership is not necessarily involved in the Leaders Night Out just yet. That may change over time. But here's the deal. We love leaders, and we love investing in them. And when I say we, I'm probably talking more about me and the local board of administration, because we want to grow as a church, and we want to develop strong leaders here at the church, because we know that leadership matters. And so if you would like to be involved, say, you know what, I didn't get an email about that, but I want to be a part of it, talk to me, because I would love to plug you in. And I think there's some areas of leadership that you might be able to help us out with and provide some wisdom and insight. And just so you know, leaders, that is taking place on August 7th. Why August 7th? Because we need you to be excited about what's coming up in the fall. And this is a great way for you to kind of get connected. So if you have questions about any of this stuff over the course of time, let me know. It's not a secret. It's just been something that we've poured into our leaders specifically over this last year. And we meet 3, maybe 4 times a year. And we take 2 hours out of your time during that event. And hopefully we feed you good food too, so that you're kind of aware of that you're not going to pass out from lack of sustenance. But we want to just pour into our leaders. Does that sound like an okay thing? That was mostly accepted. Good. Good. So we're going to jump into a new sermon series. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at this thing called Tell Your Story. Historically, humanity has communicated through story. It's one of the major forms of communication among people. And while the delivery method has changed over the years from verbal to print and then film and television, story continues to be the primary way in which humans communicate with one another and tell their story. What's your favorite story of all time? My guess is that maybe some of you, it's like you went straight to the Bible. Maybe you went to David and Goliath. Maybe you remembered a story from your childhood that your parents used to tell you. One of my favorite stories was a story called Call It Courage. It's about this little boy that is on the islands, and he overcomes so much in his life about fear and dealing with how to just manage the changing experiences that he was having because he was a orphaned, and how he fought back against the literal waves of life. Fantastic story. If you can catch it someday, I would highly encourage it. Is your favorite story a triumph of good over evil? Was it a great princess story for our little ones? Was it a sports story where the underdog wins? Maybe trying to think Rudy. I mean, that's a story, isn't it? It's put into film, but maybe it's an underdog type of story. I absolutely love stories. I remember being a teenager in a thing called FCA, and our middle school had a really good FCA program. About anywhere from 50 to 60 kids would show up on a Friday, depending on the day. And we had someone, a guest speaker one time, come in and say, "Now, who is really a big fan of all the great stories of the Old Testament, or who likes the New Testament?" And I was the only person that raised their hand for the Old Testament because I love the old stories in the Old Testament. And everybody else looked at me, "But there's Jesus in the New Testament." And I said, "But I like the old ones." I felt really bad, but I like stories. I think that's one of the reasons why I like movies so much, is because of the stories that are in it. Could it be said that we all enjoy a good story? Regardless of how we feel about them, and you and I, just so you are aware, you and I have stories. You have things that go on in your life that are a part of your story, and they are important no matter what. Now, we might think that our story's not very exciting, but that's not the case. Our story is a reflection of what God has done in our lives, and I think every story matters. Some of them have been amazing. Some of them have been bizarre. Some of them have just been long stories of God's working in your life. And I think that if we took the time to hear each other's story, we might benefit in great ways. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be in this series titled Tell Your Story. And we're going to look at some stories in the Bible. We're going to look at stories in people's lives, and that's when I say that, I mean we're going to have opportunities to hear from people here at Living Hope to share a portion of their story. Now, I realize that we all have a story that we could share, and to be quite honest, we could go on and on about how God has been good in the stories that we share. But here's what I want you to be thinking about over the course of these next few weeks. Thinking about your particular story and how that story can be shared with someone else. How has God worked in your life? Has God been faithful in a certain area of your life? And how might you be able to share that story with someone else? So, in the next 4 weeks, be thinking about your story. Be thinking about how you experience God work in a unique way. And maybe just along the way, over the next 6 months, the next year, you might be able to craft that story in such a way, and when I say craft, I mean know it in such a way that you might be able to share it with someone else so that they can benefit from your story. Now, what this doesn't mean is it doesn't mean that every time you share your story, there's going to be this huge revelation and light is going to be funneling down on the person that you share their story, and they're going to be instantly transformed by your story. That's not possibly what's going to happen. But what it could do is speak a little bit of truth into their life. Speak a little bit of hope into their life. Maybe it's just a smidge, but it's worth telling your story. So we're going to be looking at a few stories today, and I'm going to be sharing with you bits and pieces of my story and how God has encouraged me and how God has used people in my life. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be actually looking how God has been faithful in people's decision making in their lives. We're going to look at how God has been faithful in someone's life to stick to it. And then we're also going to be looking at how God has been faithful to helping someone, a family in our church, to persevere. But today I want to talk about the importance of people, and specifically some accountability, and share some of those stories that come along with that. So we're not going to be diving into a particular passage, but I've got three stories that I just want to share with you and then share a connection to them. Would that be all right if we do that? Sure. Fantastic. You guys are awesome. So here we go. In the book of Daniel, you guys remember the story of King Nebuchadnezzar? One of the great stories in Scripture, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and those guys are phenomenal. And the king of Babylon, if you remember, what he did was he built a massive statue in the desert, and he told everyone, he said, everyone, when you hear the many musical instruments, and they labeled them all out, and you can find them out, and you can try to define if one looks like a guitar today or a horn or something like that. I don't know what all of those are, but when you hear the musical instruments, the people were supposed to bow down and worship. And we remember that there were three guys, Rakshak and Benny, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were not the guys that bowed down. They actually refused to bow down, and they were defying the king. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar, he got ticked because you're supposed to obey the king. And so what was going to happen was they were going to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace. In fact, it was so hot that the soldiers that were throwing them into the fiery furnace died as they were getting to the fiery furnace. But here's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Have you ever wondered about these guys and thought, well, what if it was just one of them? If it was just Shadrach, would Shadrach have done what he did? Would Shadrach by himself, would he have said, no, king, I am not going to bow down? I don't know. What I do know is that Meshach, just because his name was cool, probably would have. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. Speculating. Completely speculating. But have you ever wondered about the power of like-minded people to impact life? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if it would have been just one of them, I don't know if it would have been the same response. I don't know if they would have said, you know what, King? We're not going to do it. You can throw us into the furnace. That's fine. And God can save us. But if he doesn't, we're still not going to do it. I don't know. Could you have done that by yourself? Whew. There is something about strength and numbers. There is something about the willingness that takes place when you have like-minded people walking alongside with you. And I experienced that in a unique way. When I was in high school, I was in a youth group that was consisted of five people. And that was it, just the five of us and the youth pastor. And we were sitting around and we were reading various books of the Bible. And we just happened to be reading the book of Daniel, and we're reading through it and reading through it. And we are just enamored and amazed at the faith of not only Daniel, but the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the question was asked of us, the five of us, what should you guys do about this? And we happen to be talking about that passage of scripture where Daniel is tucking himself away and praying to God. And we thought, let's start praying as diligently as we can. And I think all five of us looked at each other and like, what did we just say? Because that's not normal for high school boys to be thinking about. And it was all boys that were in this group at that point in time. And so we felt moved to do something. And so what we ended up doing was we created an opportunity for us to meet every Friday morning before school started at 7 a.m. and pray for an hour and then go to school. In my head, I thought, oh, this will last for about a month, four Fridays. It lasted about 2 years until we graduated. And it continued on for a few years after that. But what happened in my life because of these five guys, that a couple of them graduated and we brought in a couple other guys, was for one, it had changed my thought about prayer. That prayer didn't have to be done just on at mealtimes, didn't just have to be done on Sundays, didn't just have to be done when things were going really bad in life. I learned that I could pray at any point in life, at any point in time. And I could even pray for my friends and my classmates. That was wild. We prayed for each other about college, each other's significant others, however weird that was. You know, girlfriends, things like that. We prayed about our parents. We prayed about our families. We prayed about so many things. And then we learned what it means to pray scripture. And we learned how to pray with intention of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. This prayer time changed my life drastically. It set me up for who I am today. Because we read a book of the Bible and said, we need to do something about it. So for these five or six guys, my thought is, are you surrounding yourself with people that are like-minded that will help you stand up to a tyrant king? Are you surrounding yourself with a few people that will help you to live your life to glorify God? I certainly hope so, because without it, I don't think I would be where I am today. In Exodus chapter 17, Moses is telling the Israelites and Joshua, hey, it's time for you guys to go and battle against the Amalekites. And Moses says, you know what? I'm going to go stand on the top of this hill, and I'm going to basically, he's going to be raising up his staff and both of his hands. And as long as he held his hands up in the air, Joshua and the Israelites were triumphing over the Amalekites. But when his hands dropped, they started getting defeated. And here's what the scripture says, is that Aaron and Hur held his hands up one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remain steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekites, the Amalekite army, with the sword. What I didn't read in there is that they also provided him with a stone to sit on when he got tired. Have you ever had someone in your life where you just needed someone to care for you in unique ways? I mean, think about it for just a moment. Moses, he's at his, he's like 100-some years old at this time. And here he is standing up on top of a hill, holding up the staff of God in his arms. And I don't know if you have ever done anything like that at your age currently, but think about how many years it needs to be 100. 5 minutes tops. Okay, two for me. And my arms are dead tired and can't do it anymore. And here comes someone in your life, let you sit down on a rock, not comfortable, and then they hold your arms up. Do you have someone in your life that is willing to hold you up when you need it? Do you have someone like an Aaron or a Her? I was on the college tennis team at the University of Sioux Falls. Yes, I played college tennis, and I wasn't very good, but I did. And we had a unique group of guys, all followers of Jesus. There were six of us, and I'd never been on a tennis team like this before, where we prayed for one another, where we held each other accountable. When one of us was doing something that wasn't very good, or we noticed that some habits were forming, we would hold each other accountable. We listened to the difficult days of life and as college students, and we helped one another. We were there for one another. My friends walked with me when my parents decided that they were going to move from my hometown to some place in Nebraska. We were there for the guy that was preparing to ask his girlfriend to marry him and walk through the scenarios of life with him. And we prayed and we rejoiced with one another. We cried with one another. It was a unique time in my life. But those guys set me up with how to trust new people, how to let someone else into my world a little bit. And that's difficult. For all of us, isn't it? It's hard to let someone into your world. Moses did it. Why can't we? In 2 Samuel chapter 12, Nathan comes to David and he tells him a great story. And it's up on the screen, but follow along with me. It says, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David hears this story and he's ticked. He's upset. He's mad. And he is like, how and why? And he is ready to throw that person into the worst place possible and just is ready to take out vengeance upon this guy. And Nathan, the prophet, comes to David and says, you are the man. Then he proceeds to tell him that you did this in the life of Uriah and Bathsheba. And tells him a message from God that is simply amazing. This is a form of accountability. The most powerful man in the world at that point in time needed accountability. He needed someone to come and speak the truth to him and tell him, you know what, you've done something wrong. Have you ever had someone in your life be willing to trust you enough to tell you the truth about what you did? Have you ever had someone in your life where you had to go to tell them and you trusted them enough to tell the truth? Accountability hurts, but it is so powerful, so important, so good for the soul, even though it is like salt on the wound sometimes. I've been in a variety of accountability groups, and there's two of them that I'm thinking about that I want to just quickly talk about. I was in a formal accountability group with a bunch of seminary students. And we had a list of John Wesley's questions that he recommended to all of his classes and bands. And these questions were in Old English, so we had to translate them and figure out the these and the thous. If you've ever done that, that's always a fun job. But we did that. And we talked about a variety of things. Anger, purity, finances, and there was a few others. The one on finances was really simple because we were all poor seminary students. We had most of us were we didn't have jobs, and we were benefiting from one family income that was usually very temporary. And so that one was, whew, we all skated through that question very easily. But when it came to other questions, anger, purity, bitterness, and things of that nature, those led to harder conversations. And I would never change it. I would never change the opportunity to sit with some other like-minded individuals and have them pepper me with questions and me pepper them with questions. Why? Because I got to be honest. I got to be truthful. I got to share where I was struggling, and I got to allow someone to speak some truth into my life. It allowed me to be honest with my dealings and trust others. Did you know that Billy Graham had some type of accountability questions? The great evangelist Billy Graham had a relationship, friendship with George Beverly Shea, Cliff Barrows, and Grady Wilson. And in 1948, these four guys sat down and they wrote out what was called the Modesto Manifesto. Now, that is a brilliant name, Modesto Manifesto. And it was largely addressing some of the struggles that evangelists, traveling evangelists, dealt with in their day and time. And this manifesto eventually became a standard, a biblical standard for biblical morality for pastors, parachurch organizations, and many, many more adopted this form of accountability based on this Modesto Manifesto. And honestly, I have put some of these standards into my own life. That's a lot of years later, because that was 1948. Everybody with me? I mean, that's like, whew, 70-some years. Did I even get close on that? No? Okay. We don't talk math around here, okay? We let other people do math, all right? But one of the things that was very big in Billy Graham's life, and it's called the Billy Graham Rule, and it is this, is that a person is to not be alone with, out to dinner with, or ride in a car with someone of the opposite sex. And that is a great rule. Mike Pence a few years ago got made fun of because of that rule, and he became an okay guy in my eyes because of that rule that he played out in his life. The Modesto Manifesto talks about finances, purity, cooperation with the local church, and publicity. Meaning, Billy Graham encouraged the evangelists to be honest in telling about their advertising and not exaggerating the numbers that were present at his rallies, his revivals, and not exaggerate the finances and not exaggerate the people that were coming forward. Isn't that cool? that accountability was important to that man, I'm so glad that it was. I want to tell you about a friend named Phil. His name is Phil Major. He was a student with me at seminary, and because of my friendship with him, he changed my life drastically. Him and I had probably very little in common because we were at two different stages of life. He was a few years older than I was, didn't have any of his own biological children, but had children through his wife. And he loved them dearly. He taught me what it means to be a man of God for parenting. He showed me that I can have fun in different ways, but he also taught me a lot about loyalty. Because it was very easy for me to find people that were my own age and develop friendships with them, but he kept poking his head into my life, and he benefited me greatly. One thing that he did that changed me for the most was that he introduced me to White Castle. Had you ever had White Castle? Oh my goodness, they are the worst hamburgers you've ever had in your life. No? Okay. To me, you can eat about 15 of them because they're little tiny slider type burgers that have, they're steamed, and that you might really enjoy them, but I didn't. We're not going to go that route. Okay. They altered my body forever since then. Anyways, just kidding about that. Phil, because of our friendship, one of the things that he did for me that greatly changed my life was this. Him and I were talking one day, and I was telling him, just being really honest, he said, I told him, Phil, I am months away from graduating, and I know I need to get better at growing my relationship with God. I need to continue to develop and to really sink into my relationship. But everything that I've been doing for the last 3.5 years has been very intellectual. I'm growing in the learning, but the personal spiritual devotion is where I feel like I'm struggling the most. And here I am getting ready to go into the pastorate and all of that. And he challenged me and he said, you know what you need to do? You need to change your mindset and think about your relationship with God as a friendship, not as a seminary assignment. My mind exploded. I knew that. We all know that. But for me, that was the moment that would change my life and my trajectory and my growth. And he said, how do you and I relate? And I said, well, we relate over video games and coffee and sitting around and talking and just being friends. And he said, do that with God. I'm like, I can't play video games with God. And he said, you're right. You can't. And I don't recommend it. But you can be God's friend. Okay. Well, tell me how you begin your prayer. I'm like, seriously? Yeah. It was very formal. It was very much, dear Heavenly Father. And he said, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you want to grow, you might want to change the way that you talk to God. Well, I don't know if I can do that, Phil. He said, you can. And when you do, it'll change. So I began to think, what is the most relational, respectful way that I can address God? And it's actually something that I still use today when I'm journaling. Daddy. Abba, Father. It's been 15 years almost, and I still write, good morning, Abba. Abba, Father. Almost every day. It changed my life. It changed my perspective because I had someone in my life that talked to me about it. You need someone in your life that is going to talk to you, going to hold you accountable, You need someone in your life that will speak truth to you. Community, however we look at it, is powerful. Now, I know there are a lot of you that are in groups. You're in them. Utilize them. Grow with them. Allow yourself to be open in them. And don't sit there like a bump on a log. Invest in the group. Because if you do, look at the growth that you might be able to have. Jesus had community. Not only did he have the 12 and then the multitudes, but he had a group of three that he invested in. Peter, James, and John. And what is it said about Peter? The church will be built on that rock. And the gates of hell will not come against it. I think that's Pastor Chopper's version. Or close. You need someone in your life. You need community in your life, just like I did and just like I do. You need someone to hold you accountable. We need that just about every other day and twice on Sundays. And that's something like that, right? The truth of the matter is that we can't do this thing called church and relationship with God by ourselves. We need others. So let's use it, let's benefit from it, and let's help not only ourselves, but others grow as well. Amen? Amen. Thanks for letting me share my story with you. I'm thankful for it. Now, that's not all of my story. There's a lot more to it, just like there's a lot more to your story than just what I know or what other people know. But may God continue to strengthen you and move you to the place where you can share your stories with others over the next couple of weeks. I think that it would be good, and I hope that you will share it so that you can benefit someone else's life. Father God, thank you so very much for your grace and your mercy. And I'm grateful for the ways in which you, Father, organize work in our lives. And Father, we also are just very grateful for the impact of others in our lives for the glory of your kingdom. And we're so, so very thankful for the ways in which you work in us and through us. Father God, as we embark from this place, will you continue to just walk with us? And as we enjoy lunch together, Lord, will you fill us with your presence? Will you also just bless the food as we enjoy it? Give us the strength that we need because of it. And may we just have a glorious time in fellowship and friendship with one another. God, you are good, and we thank you, we love you, and we pray all these things in your Son's glorious name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, when we are finished here, we would invite you to stick around as we get things set up for lunch. We're going to be cooking burgers and dogs. As soon as those are ready, we'll line up in the back hallway and get the food moving. So bear with us as we get some of these final steps and things ready. I've already prayed for our meal, so we don't have to do that. We can just get in line and enjoy food together. Thanks so much for being here today. Let's stand and close our time together in song.